This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. You could be listening here in Georgia. You could be in New York with super producer and host Ryan Hickey. You could be in Florida, Texas, Chicago. You could be in Milwaukee. You could be in Montana, California, Toronto, Vancouver. You could be in Anchorage, Alaska. What up, Anchorage? I see you out there. Not really, but I see you. I feel your presence. What's going on my folks in Hawaii? Everybody listening in other places that I have no idea where you're at. People listening, people who aren't supposed to be listening. Thank you. I appreciate you. Hope you're not sitting in traffic. If you are, just have some fun. Traffic sucks. Try not to be the person causing traffic. Anyway, you can always listen to the show on the free Odyssey app, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM channel 158. If you got a smart speaker, ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. You can always ask it to, you can ask it a lot of things. Just ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. Anyway, the show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You want to talk to me? It's simple. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. You can also find me online at JR Sport Brief. On the heels of UConn winning the national championship last night, in about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by Brendan Quinn from The Athletic. Published a great article about UConn and what they've been able to do. I don't know if we call them a dynasty? They've been the best team. They've been the winningest team in college basketball since the turn of the century. So we're going to talk to Brendan Quinn about how this all came to be. That conversation will take place in 20 minutes. If you missed the last hour of the show, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Obviously, we talked about last night's national championship. We talked about Tiger Woods, as Tiger Woods is trying to get his mojo back for the Masters. And then as we continue on with the show, how about next hour? Now that the college game is done, both the men and the women's side, people are going to start paying more attention to the professionals. People are going to turn their attention back to the NBA. The NBA is relevant again. We'll talk about it next hour. And in a few minutes, I most definitely want to talk about Coach Calipari. Maybe you've heard him earlier this afternoon. Maybe you did not. He had an explanation. He gave us some insight as to his future. We'll get to that in a second. 855-212-4CBS. Brent is calling from Illinois. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Well, hello, JR. How are you doing today?
I'm excellent. What's on your mind? Give it to me quick.
Okay, very quick. The baby blue St. Louis Cardinal jerseys, they were a throwback to mostly the 1980s. And those jerseys were remembered as the Victory Blues, debuted in 1974 and were worn through 1986. They're associated with players like Keith Hernandez, Bruce Sutter, Ozzie Smith, and the 1982 World Series winning team.
Yeah, that's when Keith won that MVP. Yeah,
correct.
So what are they doing now? Is it the same exact jersey but just blue, or did they stupefy it?
You know, I just think, well, when Ryan brought it up, it just reminded me how, and he said how the beautiful they were. I got to look up the jersey, but I believe it with the baby blue and how beautiful they were. It brought back memories of the 1980s, Weddy Herzog and everything. And that's what I just want to bring to your attention.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I bet that the old jerseys look pretty classic, and I'm sure the new ones look like garbage, but I'm going to look it up. Hey, thank you, Brent. Appreciate that.
Anytime. Thank you.
No doubt about it. Hey, Hickey, does it have the birds sitting on the bat, or did they, like, get real ridiculous with this thing?
They do. At least, well, I'll say this. The older uniforms, right? Because this year, obviously, everything went to crap. So last year, when things were still good, yes, it was a clean jersey. And the way it looked in the 80s, it looked in recent years, they did a good job with it. I hope it continues. Okay. But with what we've seen, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It looks fine.
See, it's a good look.
It looks fine. It looks kind of, eh, is it something that I'd wear? No, but, you know, it looks nice. I recently saw the Phillies have some new jerseys. Now, those look ridiculous. I don't got time to look at everybody's new jersey and go, well, why are the Phillies wearing green? Like, why is this font on their jersey? I just found it to look, yeah, I'm looking at it now. Phillies City Connect jersey. It looks like it's in a gothic style. It's blue with yellow piping. I don't know. Is that the Philadelphia flag? I don't know. I don't know. It's just like you do too much. And I understand everybody wants to sell a jersey. The jersey is unapologetically Philly. Design captures the spirit of the past, present, and future of Philadelphia. And blue and yellow. I don't know. I'll look that up later. Collar that's notably blue, our heart on our sleeve. The cap features the Liberty Bell to be rung, light to dark. It's just, I don't know, just put them out there in red and gray and pinstripes and let's keep it moving. I did see that the New York Mets, have they started wearing them black jerseys already?
Not yet. I think this weekend will be the debut.
And what's the big, why did they stop wearing them in the first place? Do you know? Any clue? Why? Because the Wilpons ran out of money? Like, what happened?
That could be it. I mean, they were kind of ugly.
The black jerseys?
Black is not in the Mets color scheme. They're a team that is blue and orange.
Yeah, but as like, you know, and also every, but there's white and there's black. Like, as a color scheme, home, away, I know they wore gray, but what's wrong wearing black? You didn't like them?
Oh, I hated them.
I got a Derek Bell black New York Mets jersey in my closet.
Wow, that's a throwback right there.
Yeah, Derek Bell. I don't know what he's doing. I know he got to the Mets and he had a good year, and then after that he stunk.
What made you get a Derek Bell Mets jersey?
Oh, he had a good year. This was like, I don't know what year this was, 2000? I guess it's like.
So that was it? Good year? I said, oh, you know what, let's just rock this around town?
Yeah, I liked it, yeah. This is when jerseys were big, man.
Was he number 16?
He did, correct.
All right.
Number 16, yep. Derek Bell, New York Mets jersey. I got a Frank Thomas jersey as well, number 35.
You going to dust those off anytime soon?
No.
Maybe days walk around ATL in them?
No, days are over. Maybe. I got a Paul. I have a Paul O'Neill, a spring training jersey. This jersey has to be about, I don't know, maybe 30 years old. Classic, you know, holes, not the holes, but, you know, the mesh.
Oh, old school.
Solid mesh, navy blue with the Yankees logo on the front. I could wear it in the summertime and look comfortable, or be comfortable and look good. So I like it. But Derek Bell, hell no. Frank Thomas, no, sir. Not going to wear it. But the Paul O'Neill jersey, oh, yeah, I'll wear it. And that's what we need more of. We are so damn complex and complicated now and trying to sell jerseys and sell clothes that we got to have 20 different uniforms. I walk around in a mesh New York Yankees jersey in the summertime, and I'm cool and comfortable. I could play sports in it if I want. Like, what? Now we got to come up with dry wick technology. The jersey will take away the sweat from your body. It's like, just give me some clothes. Everything got to be so complex. You know, every now and then I put on some Nikes that have the air bubble in it. I'm like, okay, these are comfortable. And then every now and then I just put on some Converse and I'm like, yeah, these are even better. So sometimes it's simple is best. They got a whole method behind this for life. It's called KISS. Keep it simple. Stupid. Not that difficult. Stop playing around with these damn jerseys. Anyway. Somebody who's trying to keep their life as simple as possible is Coach Cal, John Calipari. We got the rumors yesterday. Matter of fact, we got the rumors on Sunday night that he was leaving Kentucky, that he was heading on down to Arkansas. that the Chicken Man, his friend, the Tyson heir, yeah, Tyson Foods, basically said, man, come on down to Arkansas. Our coach Musselman left. He's going out to California. We got an open spot. Why don't you come on down and take the job? And so yesterday, while walking his dog outside, Coach Cal didn't want to talk about anything. They basically asked him about the job, and he's just like, listen, folks, I'm walking my dog. I don't know nothing. And so what did he do? I guess today Coach Cal was a hostage in his own house because Calipari sat on his couch and delivered his message. And he basically said that, yeah, I'm out of here, that Kentucky needs a new voice.
This is a dream job. It was my dream job. Anybody in our profession looks at the University of Kentucky in basketball and said, that is the bluest of blue. The last few weeks, we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice.
Hickey, he said over the last week? Is that what he said?
He did. Been thinking about it for only a week.
I mean, when he had that big old podcast message about, the patience and committing to turning things around, and then this week, he's like, oh, yeah, we thought about it, need a new voice. Oh, sure, right. They've been serving us a load of crap, both the university athletic director and also Coach Cal. Been looking for an exit, and they didn't want to fire him because they would have owed him $33 million. They were waiting, hoping that somebody would come along, and look who came along. It was Arkansas. The man has been there, Coach Cal, has been at Kentucky since 2009, has one tournament went to show for it back in 2012, has had everybody from Julius Randle to John Wall, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, and so on and the like, and has one title to show for it. And for the past 4 years, he's had a lot of nothing to show for it, like not going to the tournament at all, like losing to a school in St. Peter's that most people can't identify on a map, losing to Kansas State, losing to a school that represents Oakland, and not Oakland, California, but Oakland, Michigan. Coach Cal has lost his ways. And so it hasn't been officially announced that he is moving on down to Arkansas. But for right now, he's just letting everybody know that he's leaving. And so what does that mean? The speculation. Who's going to take over for Coach Cal? Who is going to be the next head coach of Kentucky and those famous Wildcats? Well, you would think Dan Hurley would want the job, right? Dan Hurley just won a national championship last night, went back-to-back. Kentucky could write him a much bigger check than what he's used to in Connecticut. Maybe he wants a larger challenge in a foreign land? Yes, going from Connecticut to Kentucky is a foreign land. Dan Hurley pretty much laughed it off. Listen.
I hope I don't misquote you, but you said out on the court something about UConn giving you all the resources you need. Can we interpret that to mean you intend to be back at UConn next year? You're not going to entertain any conversations with anybody else that might have a job coming open tomorrow?
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that. Yeah.
We can maybe arrange a press conference for Mrs. Hurley in the morning. Congratulations, Coach.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, she'll answer that question better than I can.
The man got a wife. Bottom line is, she does not want to leave the Northeast. Problem solved. Dan Hurley ain't going anywhere. Do you hear that, man? He doesn't want a divorce. How about somebody else knows all about championships? It's head coach Jay Wright of the Villanova Wildcats, formerly of the Villanova Wildcats. This man is now on television. He's a broadcaster, and he's a damn good broadcaster, by the way. Why the hell would he want to get back into college? Why would he want to get back into doing all of the work? He can make money on television. Jay Wright told everybody on TBS, he's like, man, I ain't going back into coaching right now, not for no Kentucky.
I am so happy doing this. I'll tell you this right now. I love doing this. I like being Kenny's coach, even though I'm not Chuck's coach yet. I haven't earned that. I haven't earned that yet. That program is known worldwide. And it always was, but he took it into this new generation and did an incredible job. The guy that replaces him is going to be in a really difficult position to cover all the areas of college basketball. He's a college basketball genius. What he did in recruiting and bringing in all those pros and all those guys that come back to Kentucky makes that program as strong as ever. Whoever comes in there is coming into a super strong program.
That's a firm no, though? Was that a firm no?
Yeah.
Off the media.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a firm no. Get somebody else to do it. It ain't going to be me. You want to know a name that has been thrown around? He also is a former college coach. This man was with the Gators. This man knows about championships. It's Billy Donovan. Somebody else who knows a little something about going back to back because he was with them damn Gators. But right now, he's coaching the Chicago Bulls, a team going absolutely nowhere. Head coach Billy Donovan was just asked about this. Hey, you going to Kentucky? Listen to this answer.
Say this, obviously, I spent, you know, 5 years, my first 5 years in coaching, you know, when Coach Pitino gave me a job, two kids were born there. I think, like at all my stops, you know, you have very, very fond memories. I have not been contacted by anybody. I haven't spoken to anybody. My total commitment and focus is here to this team and to this group. I think with what we've been through, you know, this year and the way we started, we've talked about it. I give our guys a lot of credit for hanging in there and battling through some of the things we had to battle through. And I'm with them on that. And I'm committed to them with that. So, you know, again, a lot of this stuff I think sometimes turns out to be speculation. But I have not had any contact with anybody in my commitments here.
His commitment could be to the Chicago Bulls today. His commitment could be to Kentucky next week. It's as clear as day. There was no door shut. There was no window closed. He just talked about his commitment. Well, look, there ain't no guarantee the Chicago Bulls want him after this year. There ain't no guarantee that he wants the Chicago Bulls. Things change, folks. Somebody could love you today and hate you tomorrow. That's how the world goes. Billy Donovan, next head coach of Kentucky. I wouldn't be shocked because the Bulls, oh, that's a team going nowhere. It's the JR Sportbrief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I could tell you where we're going. On the other side of the break, we're going to have a conversation with Brendan Quinn from The Athletic. We're going to talk about UConn because he knows exactly where they have been and where they're at right now. Talk about that. And then there's even a wild card, someone who could coach Kentucky. I think he might have some larger issues. We'll get to that this hour as well. It's the JR Sportbrief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I can't believe it. The college basketball season, it's over. South Carolina wins on Sunday. UConn wins last night. And we have two different forms and variations of dominance. Got Dawn Staley picking up her third championship. And when you think about UConn, since 1999, they got six of them. This is a school in the middle of Connecticut that has pretty much dominated college basketball for the last 25 years. To talk about what they've done, how the heck they got here, where they might be going, is Brendan Quinn. He writes for The Athletic, and he had a damn good article about this. Brendan, thank you for taking the time to hop on.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to. I'm with you, though. I'm sad to see the season end, but at least it was a really appropriate ending with clearly the two best teams in the country actually squaring off. Like, how often do we get that?
Yeah, and then we saw the best team in the nation just run them out the gym again. I guess only this time by only 15 points, but smacked them nonetheless. The article that you released in The Athletic pretty much detailed how the heck we got here. when you look at all the research you've done from UConn jumping into the Big East to the coaches, what stands out to you? Like, what is the big difference between UConn and some of these other schools like Kentucky that have been like reaching for success?
Yeah, I still think it's hard. I don't think there's a singular answer to that. I mean, first and foremost, it's hiring two, you know, certainly one Hall of Fame coach and what is looking like a second Hall of Fame coach. But it's identifying talent. I mean, you can go all the way back to, you know, when Jim Calhoun got his start at UConn, and they weren't exactly rolling out of the gate, but they made progress. You talk to people who were around back then, and the first time they made the NIT under Calhoun, there was definitely a general feeling like, they might have something kind of going over there. And then next thing you know, you get Donyell Marshall, you get Rip Hamilton, and, you know, it's players at the end of the day. And UConn gets guys. And one of the points I made in the story is that in the time that I've spent up in stores in the past and just being around the program, you always hear people say this notion that like stores is so isolated that when players go there, they only focus on basketball. And that's one of the reasons that they're really good. Now, there's plenty of isolated basketball programs out there that do not turn into perennial national champions. What I think is like it separates UConn in that regard, or how it uses that aspect of its identity, is that not only is it isolated, but it's a place that has coaches who can recruit and identify elite dudes. And they not only get them, but then they find guys that are willing to go to stores. So it's not just finding players and sticking them in the middle of the woods. They're finding great players who are willing to be in the middle of the woods. And those are the guys who, probably not surprisingly, are, you know, going to be the hardest workers and going to be guys who get every ounce out of their potential. And that's really what, I mean, UConn has been for a long time, I think.
Brendan Quinn is here with us from The Athletic. One point in your article as well is about the early relationship, and I guess one of the early meetings between Coach Hurley and Coach Calhoun, and that there was a point in time, despite the success that he's had over the past couple of years and what he's built to, that their initial interaction when he ran a practice was one that, you know, Coach Hurley didn't think that he belonged at UConn. Can you talk about that and where that relationship was and is? And I know this is a story that he told last night after the victory.
Yeah, I think I'd heard a version of this, like back in the day when I spent a while up there in December of last season, and I think I might have heard a version of the story. But yeah, he expanded on it last night, and it was essentially, you know, after he took the job in 2018. He had a really successful tenure at Rhode Island. He had most of a really good roster coming back. This was pre-transfer portal, so those guys were pretty much coming back. He could be sure of it. And, you know, he took the UConn job because who turns down UConn? You know, at that time, they had four national titles in the last 20 years. Still kind of a major brand in college basketball, but at the same time, it was not playing in the Big East, and it was not playing to the standard of UConn, and the roster that he inherited from Kevin Ollie just wasn't very good. There were some kind of just like structural issues of the actual program. And so long story short, you know, Dan has his first practice, and he says, what the hell is this? Like, this is not UConn basketball. Like, what did I sign up for? And, you know, in his own words last night, he had some buyer's remorse immediately. And he really kind of panicked. And I think anyone who has followed Dan and sees his quirks and his idiosyncrasies and his just kind of emotional voltage, yeah, he kind of panicked. And he went as far as asking his agent if he could back out of the deal that he signed at UConn and return to Rhode Island. But that contract, of course, included a buyout. So, you know, the agent explained to Dan what a buyout is, and Dan realized he was kind of stuck. So his next recourse was to go to Jim Calhoun's office, who was kind of working as a retiree in one of those, like, you know, statesman fundraiser type roles for the university. Dan walks into his office and says, you know, what's going on with this place? What's wrong with this? This isn't UConn, et cetera, et cetera. And Jim Calhoun responded in a way that I think most of us would expect Jim Calhoun to respond. He ripped into him. He laid into him, and he said, maybe you're not the guy that we should have hired for the job. Like, don't you ever come in here and speak to me this way. And yeah, they just left it at this, you know, extremely tense moment. And Dan ended up leaving the room. This wasn't in the story, but he went and met with the athletic director after that and said, you know, we got to get this thing together. And it all just kind of started building from there. Obviously, the biggest thing they needed to do was get back to the Big East, and they did that. So that's good.
Well, we see the success that he and the program have been able to have. We certainly hear from him. He reminds us about that this is a second version of the team. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on a third version? I mean, are we that far along? Is a three-peat a possibility, or is it just almost like, I don't want to say impossible, nothing's impossible, but is it a long shot?
I wouldn't say it's a long shot. They're going to be probably a preseason top five team. They are going to be a, you know, prime destination. I think right now it is a primary destination for guys who want to be coached. And that's a hell of a selling point. So, you know, if you're not only getting good players and some pros, but you're getting guys who are willing to go in and play a role, which has been very much the defining aspect of these two championship teams that Dan and the UConn staff, which his staff, I don't think can get enough credit for what they do. But, you know, they compile talent that fits together and personalities that are willing to play their role. You know, we talked about this team this year. You forget, you know, last year's team, Andre Jackson, Jordan Hawkins, Adama Sanogo, like those were guys who all had options before that year. Hawkins could have gone pro. Jackson could have gone pro. Sanogo could have gone pro. And they all came back and they played their roles. And the guys around them fit into their roles, from Klingon coming off the bench as a freshman. Like, how crazy is it that Klingon came off the bench as a freshman? You watch him now, you know, he's the best player on the court 99 out of 100 times this season. Tristan Newton he won the Cousy Award this year. Last year, he was the fifth option on the team, sixth option on the team. Alex Carabin, same thing. So if they can replicate that and bring in guys who do that and are all willing to score, you know, 12 to 14 points a game and just win, why not? Why can't they win a third?
Brendan Quinn is here with us from The Athletic. As we start to wrap things up, I mean, outside of UCLA, people automatically, having more recent times, just automatically think about Duke. I don't know if it's a matter of nostalgia or what the case is, but when you look at UConn, are they not the cream of the crop? Are they not at the top of the mountain over the past, I don't know, even 40, 45, maybe 50 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a 30-year window, without question, because what's been really interesting is there's been other programs who've kind of popped up as potential candidates, right, to join that group of, you know, I'm just talking the last quarter century, you know, kind of get up there with Carolina and Duke and Kansas, et cetera. You know, Villanova wins back-to-back, or I'm sorry, Villanova wins two titles in 3 years, and three titles total. Florida goes back to back, but you start to see those are kind of the products of coaches or individual collections of talent, right? The crazy thing about UConn is that it's six titles from six vastly different teams from three different head coaches playing out of two different leagues. That's in my opinion, more impressive than going back-to-back the last 2 years. The fact that these six titles in 25 years have come under such different circumstances. That's where you start wondering, like, is there pixie dust up there? Or is there something in the water in stores? Like, what is it? But I'm with you. I don't think that it's like, oh, there's this group of blue bloods. Like, right now, UConn stands alone.
Yeah.
And that, especially because you hear Dan Hurley talk last night when, like, even the conversation of Kentucky came up. And he, like, of taking the Kentucky opening, I should clarify. And it was like, he was so aghast at even the suggestion, like, that he's not going anywhere. Like, they're already planning next year's roster. And if he's approaching this like that, they're just going to keep on rolling. So I think they're in a class of their own right now. They are the envy of everyone else. I think the most interesting dynamic, though, is that in a world that is being defined by football and conference realignment, it is still a, you know, non-football school. Yes, they have a team, but we all know that UConn is not a football school. They're oddly, like, not positioned for conference realignment because the basketball program is so tied to the Big East identity, you know? So, like, if you go to the Big 12 for football money and now your basketball team's in there, like, does it work? It could, but I don't know. Like, the school needs more money for sure, and the money is in the football leagues. And the school's not in a football league. So, you know, what happens to UConn in the next 5 years is a fascinating case study in the power structure of collegiate athletics right now.
Hey, Brendan, it is so wild. I've never heard that. I mean, out of all the conversations that we've had, everything that you could have turned on the television or radio or heard or read, really, if there's anything that could be or put a dent into what UConn has done, the fact that it could be football and all of the, I don't want to say, how can I say this? All the disruption that currently exists on the football side could also disrupt what's going on the basketball side for UConn. That's some wild stuff. I'm going to look into that. Hey, Brendan, thank you for taking the time to join us. My understanding is you have left Arizona. You're on your way to the Masters. You coming here to Georgia?
I'm already here.
Oh, welcome to Georgia, man. Welcome.
I got to the media center at Augusta National about 2 hours ago. Took the 6 a.m. flight out of Phoenix. And, yeah, I'm here. I got to find, you know, some juice for like six more days. And then I go back to Detroit and now I'm going to sleep for like a couple weeks. So
have you seen Tiger Woods take two consecutive steps?
Theoretically, they're not what I would consider steps, but he's moving forward.
Okay. All right. So you not too he says if everything is good, he's ready to win. What do you think?
I don't think that's accurate. I don't think so. I would still take Scottie Scheffler.
All right, Brendan. Well, thank you so much for the insight. Not too far away from me here in Atlanta and Augusta. Hey, Brendan, where can people follow you and all your amazing work with The Athletic?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. Obviously, I'm there on The Athletic in both a lot of college basketball, a lot of golf. My colleagues did amazing work this week at the Final Four. You also, you know, for people who are really interested about this, the kind of UConn path and how this all happened, I can't recommend my colleague Dana O'Neill's book, The Big East, that was published about 3 years ago. Like, it was a source material for a lot of the stuff that I wrote in that piece, and it's a great, great read. And then I'm on Twitter at BF Quinn.
Hey, Brendan, thank you so much. Safe travels around. Enjoy the Masters, and when you get that rest, get in a few winks from me, okay?
You got it, my man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That Brendan Quinn of The Athletic also just mentioned, wrote an amazing article about UConn and how they got to this point and where they might go into the future. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Just continuing to look into the future, someone, a former player in Kentucky, threw out a name of someone who also attended Kentucky who he thinks should be head coach. I don't know if this is going to work because this guy has an issue. I'll explain on the other side of the break. And then speaking of an issue, it looks like John Morant might have one less issue. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you to Brendan Quinn of The Athletic for joining us in our last segment. Talked about UConn, how the hell they got to the spot. Six national championship victories since 1999. I don't care what's going on with Duke. I don't care what's going on with a Kansas. I don't care what happened at a Villanova or a Florida. UConn has been running this thing. Period. That's it. He said that they have an opportunity to come back next year and win it again with a different group. Coach Hurley, he's at the top of the mountain right now. Can't tell this guy nothing. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Before we spoke to Brendan, we did talk about the opening at Kentucky. We've had quite a few coaches say that they ain't going, starting with head coach Dan Hurley of UConn. He's not leaving Storrs, Connecticut, to go to Lexington. Now, Jay Wright, former head coach of Villanova, currently working the tournament for TBS. Well, now that it's done, he was working the tournament. He said he ain't going back. He's not going out there. And then before the break, we even heard from Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan is the current head coach of the Chicago Bulls. This man won back-to-back championships. He was the last head coach to do it with the Florida Gators back in 06 and 07. And Billy Donovan said that, listen, folks, I haven't been contacted by Kentucky. I am committed to the Chicago Bulls, even though the Chicago Bulls suck. And it's not just words from Billy Donovan. Pete Thamel pretty much said on the Paul Feinbaum show that Billy Donovan, he'd be perfect for Kentucky. Listen to what Pete had to say.
I think if you really distill all the names, Paul, you can really go to two, right? We can eliminate other ones. Billy Donovan is the home run hire. Billy Donovan is the aspirational hire. He was an assistant there under Rick Pitino. There's ties there for Billy Donovan. He obviously dominated the SEC in the mid-2000s and has been a generally successful NBA coach. It'll be interesting in the courtship of Billy Donovan, Paul. The Bulls are in the NBA play-in game, which is on April 17th. They play the Hawks. I'm sure you already have it set your calendar to watch it, Paul. And I don't think Billy Donovan could leave before the NBA playoffs. So if we start to see this search drag out towards that date, I think there would be an increased indication that someone is interested.
Come on, folks. What are the Chicago Bulls going to do in the play-in? What are the Chicago Bulls going to do in the playoffs? You want to know the answer? Hickey, I'll let you tell everybody the answer. What is it?
Nothing.
Nothing. Like, this is nothing but a waiting game. I wouldn't be shocked if Billy Donovan is gone next week. And by the way, I'm here in Atlanta. It's like, who cares? Hawks season has been done. Trae Young is now coming back from his broken finger. It's like, whoop-de-freaking-do. Who cares? The Bulls playing the Hawks is just a complete waste of time. Nobody's going on no run. 855-212-4CBS. Marty is here from New York. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show, Marty. What's up?
Yes, good morning, JR. Yes, I've been listening to you talk about the Kentucky job. I mean, who else could it be but Billy Donovan? I mean, he won two championships at Florida in the SEC. He knows that part of the country. For recruiting purposes, he's tailor-made for Kentucky. I mean, it's interesting to note that the New York Post bandied about two other names, which I can't see. They talked about Rick Pitino. I mean, that falls under the category of been there, done that. And he wants to finish his coaching career in New York.
Yeah.
The other guy is Bruce Pearl, who's won a lot at Auburn, but didn't he have issues in Tennessee with recruiting violations?
That's from a long time. Well, I got to be careful on that. I actually know some folks over there at Auburn. I'm gonna be careful with that, Marty.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I don't need no smoke. There's a good friend of mine who works with him, so I'll leave that to you. Okay.
Okay, not a problem. But I do think Billy Donovan has to be the number one candidate by far.
Yeah, it would be a complete waste of time. By the way, I don't think Coach Pearl is leaving to go anywhere. I'll just put it that way. Okay?
I see. Okay. That's right. Curious.
No doubt about it. Marty, thank you. Appreciate you, man.
Anytime. Have a good evening, JR.
You as well, Marty. Thank you for calling from New York. Yeah, man, I ain't trying to get in the middle of that. I'm not talking about that, man. I got folks who have to deal with that school and that coach. I'm not saying a word. Nothing. He's had the job for the better part of 10 years now. I don't see. I mean, look, if you're Kentucky, you want to go big. That's it. You want to bring back someone who has some championship experience. And, I mean, look, Billy Donovan, at the beginning of the season, the Chicago Bulls had problems after the first game. They actually had a team meeting. Let's throw it back to October. This is Billy Donovan after game one saying we needed a team meeting. Listen to this.
Did players request that for you guys to kind of maybe stay out of the room?
No, I kind of had just walked in there to talk to them, and they were talking, and I said, you know, do you guys need space? And they just said yes, so I walked out.
Yeah. Who was the leader of that conversation?
I have no idea. I walked in there, they were all talking, which is good. They're all talking. And I really don't know what was said. I went in there, and they just said, Coach, can we talk as a team? And I said, fine.
Man, it's not a positive thing going on in Chicago. Nothing. Chicago Bulls are a waste of time. What a sad organization that is. Sorry. I guess you have all them glory years when Michael Jordan, even 25 years almost after, 30 years almost after, glory years are done. Sorry. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Hickey, you ready for a closed-door team meeting?
Well, that would be what, just me, myself, and I then?
No, me and you.
I thought you'd be the role of Billy Donovan in this case.
The coach?
Or is our boss, Billy Donovan, me and you are the players?
No, I'm talking about me and you. No, I'm not a player. It's me and you. We're the coaches and the players here for this show.
All right. I can sign up for that.
Yeah, we'll have a players meeting in a second. We'll be right back. We'll tell you about someone who will not be the coach of Kentucky. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.